Namaste, my dears. Hello. Welcome. This is episode 77 of the Sunrose Yoga Podcast. I'm Kelly. Thank you so much for being here today. Episode 77 is an hour and 15 minutes long, and we're working towards Natarajasana and handstand. It is a level 1-2 class. It's a strong level 1-2. I'm really glad that you're here. I'm also really glad for your participation on my 30-day video blogging challenge that's going on right now, sort of on my YouTube channel and over at my website, sunroseyoga.com. I'm answering questions and making specialized, almost like little private, mini private yoga sessions for anyone who's interested. So please do join in. Some other news, my prenatal class at Heartfire Yoga is starting up again this Saturday at 2 p.m. Please join if you are an expectant mama in the Portland area, or please share that with any expecting moms you may know. I'm also starting another family yoga class, this time in Southeast Portland at Mandala at 69th and Southeast Belmont. Would love to see you there. It's Thursdays from 4 to 5 p.m. Parents and kids, we have a lot of fun at family yoga. I'd love to share that with you. And thanks so much for all of you who've gotten in touch. Trina, Jessica, Laura, all of the folks on YouTube, really appreciate your energy. And I really appreciate all of you who are joining in the conversation on my website and at Facebook. Thank you so much. Blessings.
Wow, so those thoughts, handstand, dancing, Shiva or dancer's pose, they really kind of tie in with what my inspiration or motivation behind coming to class, the energy behind it today is, and that's cultivating patience as a way of cultivating contentment or santosha. And it's really neat, I think, to pick a pose or two that you practice all the time, maybe every day. And for me, one of those that I do every day is cow face pose, Gomukhasana, mostly because I am a sister from the land of tight hips. And it's interesting to sort of watch things ebb and flow in that part of the body and to sort of see in the body how things are playing out. And it's really easy to find yourself in a pose over and over again and sort of say, okay, when am I going to be over these tight hips? Or when am I finally going to be able to, you know, get into whatever with whatever? You know, when am I going to be able to do a handstand in the middle of the room without falling over? I mean, I have never done that. Anyway, that's very easy. We all, I think, are naturally drawn to that. So it's a practice of being patient, being able to watch things as they change, even if it's the most minuscule of changes, and sort of finding the joy in that. And so as I was, I've been unpacking my house as I just recently moved, I recently unearthed this great book by Julia Cameron, and I've been taking it to all of my classes since I found it, Heart Steps. And today I'm feeling really inspired by this quote by Ernest Holmes. Today I live in the quiet, joyous expectation of good. And then Julia Cameron goes on to write, "My soul has patience and containment. I am patient. I am able to live with ambiguity. I am able to allow situations to evolve and alter. I tolerate quiet periods of non-knowing while solutions emerge and present themselves. I do not force solutions." And of course I love that for life out there, but it's also something that we can really practice here on our mats and sort of see how that plays out in the microcosm of our body, and then really take it out there into our lives and let it unfold. And so with that, let's come to a nice tall seat. Let yourself really settle into your sitting bones. Maybe even shifting the weight back a little bit. Softening through the hips and the knees. Softening the feet. And then allowing your in-breaths to lengthen your spine. Letting the heart rise up, feeling yourself open through the collarbones. Enjoying the space and releasing the hands down to your sides, and on an in-breath, sweeping the arms out to the side, up overhead, and exhaling the hands to the heart. Inhaling the hands in front of the face and up overhead. And exhale, sweeping the arms down, out to the sides. And as you breathe in, sweeping the arms again toward the sky. And exhaling the hands to the heart. Allow yourself just to sort of rest in the word patience. We'll release the hands. We softly begin to lift the focus. Take your time to come to all fours, hands and knees. Table pose. Chakravakasana. Bringing your wrists just beneath, below your shoulders, and bringing your knees just below your hips. And as you breathe in, make the spine long. Maybe tuck the tailbone just a little bit so that the kidneys puff up. And on an exhalation, tuck the toes under and lift the hips to downward facing dog. And on an inhalation, lower the knees to the floor to table. And on an exhalation, let your hips rock back, resting the ball on the heels and the forehead on the floor. And let an in-breath slowly bring you back to table. You can take your time and spend several breaths in each of these three poses, or you can move between and among them with the start of the finish of each breath. Letting your in-breaths bring you to table, and letting your out-breaths bring you either to downward dog or to devotional bhaktasana. Letting yourself really luxuriate in the movements. Letting yourself sort of notice how moving your body slowly, how moving your body intentionally feels. How this opens up space for things to unfold. We can be in such a hurry. Even with our practice, even when we're not intending to hurry. Being with the breath can sort of remind us on a cellular level that there's no rush. And the next time you find yourself in downward facing dog, let's spend a few breaths there, sort of refining our relationship with this shape. It really begins to move the tops of the shoulders away from the ears as you move the shoulder blades down the back. And this will really serve us beautiful as we move toward handstand, creating space. Really connecting the length of each finger with the earth. Softening to the back of the heart. Letting the sitting bones curve toward the sky.
And as you breathe in, sweep your right leg toward the sky. Nice and strong through that leg. Maybe flex or point or point that foot. And if it feels okay to do so, bend that knee and begin to open up through the hip, letting your foot drop back behind the body. Good. And still really soften through the shoulders. Soften the shoulder blades down the back. But stay active through that extended leg. Beautiful. Nice toe spreading. Let's take one more breath in here. And as you exhale, step your right foot all the way forward between your hands. You can either stay on the ball of the left foot or lower the left knee down to the floor and bring the hands to the top of the right thigh as you're ready. And then as your balance sort of settles in here, bring the hands to the heart. And as you breathe in, release your hands down and circle sweep the arms around and up overhead. Exhaling the hands to the heart. And following your own breath here, just sort of moving, opening the body with the breath in and softening into the breaths out. Noticing sort of how this feels. Noticing what's happening in both of the hips. And the next time you sweep your arms around and up overhead, reach forward and down toward the earth, planting your left hand on the floor, bringing your right hand to the right hip. So while taking a breath here, really lengthening the body, you may wish to lift your knee. And as you exhale, extend the right hand towards the knee. Good, and then as you breathe in, untwist, maybe sweep the floor with your right hand, and exhale, reach the beautiful. Now work this way with the rhythm and the pace of your own breath. Adding whatever movement through the arms feels right. Always remembering you can lower or lift the back knee as it feels right for you. And then as you're ready, exhale and stay in your twist. And then just take here a few breaths and sort of notice the luxurious length of your wingspan and just the space between your shoulder blades. Beautiful. Notice what you feel there. And we'll inhale and slowly untwist. And let's exhale to downward facing dog. And now as you breathe in, slowly make your way to plank, top of a push-up. You might need to walk your feet back as you press out through the heels and shift your gaze forward onto the floor. And as you breathe in, notice how your belly button draws toward your back, towards the back of the body. See if you can soften through the shoulders just a little bit, so you're coming into the arm bones. Energizing your legs by pressing out through your heels. And see if you can feel your pinky, your fourth, your third, your second, and your big toes. And with your next exhalation, lower your knees, your belly, and your chest all the way down to the floor. And your elbows close to your sides. And now just walk the hands, maybe one hand length forward on the floor, but keep your elbows close in. And we'll press the tops of the feet into the floor so much that maybe your kneecaps lift. And as you breathe in, begin to pull your heart toward your hands as you peel the front of the body away from the floor. Elbows stay glued to the sides. Shoulders soften. And on an exhalation, come all the way back down. And as you breathe in, let's begin again. Press the tops of the feet into the floor. Begin to pull your heart toward your hands and peel the front of the body from the floor. Bhujangasana, cobra pose. And exhale, release down. And one more time as you breathe in, all of that, peel the heart from the floor, pulling yourself up, and exhale, release. Bring your hands back right underneath your shoulders. As you inhale, rock the hips back toward your heels. And as you breathe out, tuck the toes under and lift the hips high to the sky, to downward facing dog. Notice how this downward facing dog feels. See if you can really tune into your toes, all of them. And now as you breathe in, let's sweep the left leg up toward the sky. We're going to do this side slightly different. So we'll keep our toes, the left toes, pointing down toward the floor. Bend your right knee just a little bit. And then just take a little bit of a hop with your right foot. So just a little hop. You might get an inch off the floor. You might get a centimeter off the floor. You might not get off the floor. It doesn't matter. Let's do one more of those. And then as you exhale, release your left foot down to the floor. And we'll just shake the hips from side to side. And as you breathe in, sweep your right leg toward the sky. We'll bend the left knee. And just take a little hop. Beautiful. And exhale, release your right foot down. Taking a full, luxurious breath here. And as you breathe out, step your left foot forward between the hands. You can either stay on the ball of the right foot or lower that knee down to the earth as we start Anjaneyasana, side two. Hands come to the top of the thigh, into the heart center. And as you're ready, release the hands down and inhale, sweep them up toward the sky. And exhale, bring the hands back to the heart. Follow your own breath here. See if you can find freedom in parts of your back that normally feel tight. If you normally feel compression through your mid-back or your lumbar curve. See if you can lift up through the heart and just get a little bit of release, relief through there.
If that's not possible, see if you can be patient with wherever you are.
Beautiful.
And let's sweep the arms up one more time. And as you exhale, reach forward and down toward the earth. Good, and as you breathe in, plant your right hand, lengthen your spine, bring your left hand to your left hip. And as you exhale, extend the left hand skyward. Parivritta Anjaneyasana. Good, beautiful wingspans. And then as you inhale, untwist, and exhale, retwist. Find the movements here that feel right to you. You would rather move sort of more forward and back. Do that.
Listen to your body. Listen to what your body says as you move in this way. And the next time you find yourself in the twist, stay there a few breaths. And just notice what it feels like to be twisted in this way. And if even in this difficult moment, you can sort of cultivate length from the crown of your head all the way out through the heel. And cultivate lightness in the wingspan. And slowly inhale and untwist. And exhale to downward facing dog. Beautiful. Now as you breathe in, slowly make your way to plank, top of a push-up. And we'll take in a full breath here as your body grows just a little bit longer. Just a little bit taller. And let's exhale all the way down. Knees, belly, chest, or whatever way feels right to you. And as you breathe in, come back to cobra. So peel the heart from the earth. Beautiful. And exhale, release. And let's do that one more time. Peel the heart from the earth. And exhale, release. Beautiful. Now I thought we could approach Chaturanga Dandasana from the ground up. So we'll tuck the toes under. Really feel your toes. Feel your pinky toe. Feel your fourth and your third, your second, and your big toe, of course. And plant your hands right underneath your shoulders. And so from here, we'll just begin by lifting up the shoulders. It's very important in Chaturanga that your elbows are never above your shoulders, sort of height-wise. All right. As you exhale, engage Mula Bandha. So lift your pelvic floor. And looking forward, begin to press yourself all the way up to plank. Wonderful. And as you exhale, lower down maybe 2 inches, keeping your elbows close to your sides, and inhale back up. We'll exhale, lower down 2 inches, and inhale back up. And as you exhale, lower knees, belly and chest all the way down to the floor. Keep your toes tucked under. Take a full breath in. And as you breathe out, engage Mula Bandha, and begin to rise all the way up to plank. Good. On an exhale, move back to downward facing dog. Shoulders continue to move down the back. And now shift your gaze forward between your thumbs. And we'll just take maybe 2 steps with your feet closer to your hands. Just to that point where it starts to get a little bit uncomfortable, where you're like, oh God, I don't know about this. And in that space, let your heart soften down just a little bit. Let your heart drop down toward the floor. Continue to look between your hands. And as you breathe in, sweep your right leg toward the sky. Bend your left knee just a touch. And then take a little hop. And then exhale, release. And we'll begin again on the second side. Inhale, sweep the left arm up. Bend the right knee. And hop.
Good, and then slowly come back to regular old downward facing dog, letting your neck have a break. And on an in-breath, step your right foot forward between the hands. And on an out-breath, step the left foot forward, coming to Uttanasana, standing forward fold. Let yourself be easy here, with the back of the neck soften, with the crown of the head, just be heavy. Bending the knees if that feels right for you. And just bring the hands to the tops of the thighs and bend the knees slightly. And as you breathe in, bring your upper body up halfway so your torso is parallel with the floor. And as you exhale, fold. And again, as you breathe in, bring your torso up halfway, lengthening the back of the neck. And exhale, fold. And again, as you breathe in, come up halfway. And exhale, fold. And this time, as you breathe in, let's come all the way up. Use the strength of your legs to bring yourself up with a flat back, sweeping your hands skyward. And exhaling the hands to the heart. Notice what you feel. Now let's take our mats to a piece of wall where we can practice balancing on our feet and on our hands. Natarajasana, or the dancing Shiva pose. Cosmic dancer. If you've ever seen any Indian or Hindu art, this pose, the Nataraja, is this sort of classic vision of Shiva, sort of like with one knee bent and the other leg is kind of like this, and then there's like eight arms and then like a ring of fire, and you'll see Shiva is sort of like stomping on the head of a demon and like holding some heads. It's very gory. So that's our image here. And the idea of the cosmic dancer is that we're cultivating sort of that oneness of mind, that singularity, that calm, even amidst whatever demon heads happen to be around us. And you can approach the pose physically a couple of different ways. I always think it's nice to use the wall so that you can kind of dig into sort of body alignment. One way of practicing this pose is to root down through one foot and to catch the instep of the other foot. So I'm holding the inside edge of that foot. And you would come into the pose by inhaling the arm up and exhale, letting the hips in a squared fashion. So that hip is gonna wanna open up. You're gonna just let it be heavy. Move forward as you kick your hand, your foot up into your hand with the same amount of force that your hand is bringing into your foot. Okay, so that's one way of practicing it. The other way is to sort of approach the arms from up overhead. I've got tight shoulders. This is one of those where I'm going to be patient, but probably never do this in this lifetime. I'm not too worried about it, though, as you can tell. So the alternate way to practice this is to approach sort of from looping your strap around the top of your feet and drawing your foot up toward your hands. The elbows are pointing in the same direction as the hip points, which are just pointing straight ahead. Now, bear in mind, this is a balancing pose, but it's also a back bend. So if you are very sort of naturally flexible right here through your lumbar curve, over time, so you might feel in the beginning, oh, this is super easy, boink, I'm just gonna bend right into it. Over time, this will be a point of weakness. So I would encourage you to find the back bend in the upper back. We do this by letting the tailbone be a little heavier, not necessarily tucking it under, but just let yourself feel gravity there, let your heart lift and your collarbones open, and sort of consciously bringing the back bend into your thoracic spine, into your upper back. It might look different than you sort of have seen pictures of, but I honestly, long term, you'll be doing it for longer if you approach it from more of a upper back, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think I've only ever done the one-sided one, never the...
Yeah, so if you want to do that, just make your strap like an enormous belt and loop it around the top of the foot, the bottom of the foot, and then you sort of bring it over your shoulder. And then arms go up overhead. And I think with this one, this version, you really have to work a little bit harder to avoid just coming into your lumbar curve. Like you have little headlamps on the points of your hips, and you want them both pointing in the same direction. No matter how weird that sounds.
Flexing foot?
It sort of depends. I think a flexed foot is usually good as far as protecting the knee overall. If it feels better to not flex it, do that. Yeah, good hips, yeah. Very nice. Oh, good. Oh, yes. I just saw all sorts of awesomeness happen in your upper back. How does that feel? It
feels good. I see what you mean now.
Yes.
Hold that foot back.
Yeah.
And bring it forward and forward.
Yes. Yes, good upper backs. Hips look great. Yeah. Oh, good upper backs. Okay, good, this is the homework. I'm super duper into assigning homework lately. Just feels right. Okay, switch sides if you haven't already. And as you know what, it's kind of nice to go back to the other way and kind of see how it feels different. And sort of like how the body mechanics or how your body fits together in these two different ways. Yeah. Very nice. Super duper. Through my shoulders and through the back without that kind of weakness. I think it's very, for me at least, sort of looking at it from a, I want to be able to move in this way a very long time. Mm-hmm.
I would have to work on my core a heck of a lot more, because my balance isn't, wouldn't be, even if I could get the flexibility, I don't think I could balance long enough to actually get up there.
Where's my foot?
It's, yeah. It's,
someone else would have to come back and go.
Yeah. I feel fine about doing that sometimes, like being, having a partner assist and sort of figuring out where things are. Let's now sort of work our way into a handstand. A good way to sort of approach the mechanics of handstand is to begin with L pose, where you have your feet toward the wall. So in handstand, which is also called upward facing tree in Sanskrit. So just come to hands and knees and then let your heart drop down. And just get used to that, sort of like gazing between your hands and letting your heart move down toward the floor. Good, and then while you're there, just tuck your tailbone under a little bit. So you know when your back kind of wants to naturally do what you might call like a banana back, where your belly drops down and you have that real deep curve. Just right here, sort of fight that by tucking the tailbone a little bit, really puffing out through that mid-back. Beautiful, everyone looks great. Good. Now from here, all that in mind, eyes between the hands, poofing out the low back, heart dropping down, we'll tuck the toes under and lift the hips to downward facing dog. And so we'll continue to have our gaze sort of between the hands, the shoulders drop down, shoulder blades moving down the back, and we're sort of fighting the urge to banana back. And then this might be your pose. And you might just walk your feet a little bit closer to your hands and continue to sort of readjust, gazing between the hands, letting the heart drop down, fighting the urge to banana back. Part of the way we can do that is to draw your belly button toward your spine. Good. And at any time, feel free to take a break. Come on down. If it feels good to continue on here, you may wish to step one foot toward the wall and maybe the other foot and walk the feet up so that eventually they're in line with your hips. The gaze is still between the hands, the heart is still dropping down, and we're still puffing up in that low back. Yeah. Come out anytime. You might want to step just a teeny bit away from the wall. Yeah. Now your balance ultimately sort of depends on your gaze being between your hands. You might find when we do some play with this kicking up at the wall that it's easier to come up and it feels more natural to just look straight ahead with the crown of your head sort of facing earth. But as far as balancing, looking between the hands is easier. So then as you're ready, do exactly what Kevin is doing. Sort of turn around so that you're facing the wall. But we'll begin exactly as we have before. Sort of in downward facing dog, looking between the hands, dropping the heart down, and then walking the feet in just a little bit. You'll sweep one leg toward the sky, bend the other knee, and hop. And as you're hopping, we're thinking about not necessarily bringing the legs up, but bringing the torso up. And then a real key is to have active legs. Yeah, the feet, if they help. This movement that I'm making right now means upward. This sort of cheerleader type movement. Yeah. any questions? What can I, how can I be of service here?
You're red. All of the little minutiae, as far as like making that happen, requires some patience because these poses may look familiar, like to our 5-year-old selves, but the way we're approaching them is different, and it will feel weird. You know, the first 50, 100 times you do it, it'll feel like, oh, this is sort of familiar, but this one part feels weird.
Yeah, it's like real pose. I have that same sort of fear, I guess.
Oh.
That I'm like dropping myself on my head.
Well, let's do that next.
Right. So the thing with wheel pose, since we're, I just want to make sure we have time. We do. Let's do wheel and then we'll just do some floor work.
But the thing with wheel, I think, that can really help is to practice with two blocks pressed up against the wall, sort of when you're beginning this. We have already done
some pretty intense back bends, so I feel like we're all kind of warmed up as far as the back bending goes. But to come into this, let's see. Kevin, when you're out of bridge, can you be, I might need to rush you. Would you want to do some demoing?
Yeah.
So come, is it, or I can bring you these things on your mat. So we're going to begin on the back with the feet just about hip width, close in to the body, and we'll just find the feet, just sort of feel where your weight is. And the thing that I've been really emphasizing to people lately in all back bending poses is to sort of ride the natural wave that your body creates in the breath. So if you, when you breathe in, just sort of arch the back and roll onto the tailbone. And then as you breathe out, round the backs, press the small of the back into the floor, good. And then as you breathe in, press the feet into the floor, lift the hips, the low, the mid, the upper back, good. So here we're familiar with that. We'll press the hands into the blocks, and then good, yes, very nice heart. The heart is moving toward the wall, and we're really coming into that sort of back bend for the upper back. The blocks give you a like a little extra space, which I think, yeah, beautiful. Come on down nice and slow, exactly the same way you came in. I think having the blocks there is really nice for sort of that first.
That's what let me know I could do.
Yes.
I think I could afford the blocks on the wall.
Yeah, it's really a
definite confidence. And if you're worried about your neck, which I'm always worried about in my neck, that is a real help for that.
Yeah, so you want definitely want your feet, yes, very parallel. You can bring them in closer together. Yeah, there you go. And then just sort of do a couple of rounds of arching the back and rounding the back. And arching the back and rounding. And then you press both feet into the floor and lift the hips, lift the low back. And you'll press your hands into the blocks. And just, yeah, feel what that feels like. And as always, I say, just feel what you feel. Come on down, notice, like, was there pain anywhere?
I really feel it in my upper back.
In a good way or in a...
In a good, like, yes, that's going to be good for this.
Okay.
I'm always punching.
Yes! Good. And just having those blocks can sort of, like, give you the confidence and also just sort of really come into the heart as opposed to, like we were talking about before, that the lower back. If you're feeling totally confident and comfortable in wheel and you want to maybe go deeper, you can use the blocks in the opposite way, putting your feet on them. It's a little bit more challenging. It brings a little bit of a different sensation to the whole thing.
Where exactly should my hands be when I'm coming into it this
way? Right where they are, yes. Right over top of your shoulders, pointed fingers, yeah. And then it's almost like you're imagining that you're moving your heart toward away from your low back. You're pushing your heart forward toward the front of your mat.
So with
your
feet, oh,
I see. Yeah. And so that grip is a different sensation, isn't it?
It's harder to get up.
It's definitely more difficult. It sort of brings things, I think it's kind of interesting to kind of compare the two.
How is coming down out of it like that a little more difficult too?
Well, same, just harder to get up. There.
Yes.
Yeah.
I also think that the yoga lab is very good for the confidence, too, for just getting over the hump. There are a lot of poses I would have never done if I hadn't had a room full of people saying, no one is looking at you in a judgmental way. We are all here to learn, and it is okay. Whatever happens, you are supported. And there's a first time for everything, and every single person has felt weird doing a pose for the first time.
That was very helpful, thank you.
Oh, good.
I need to get some blocks.
Oh, they're great. Yeah, really nice to have some of those. The strap you can really sort of do with whatever you happen to, a scarf or an actual belt. But the real blocks are nice to have. So after all of that, let's do a very sort of gentle forward fold. And you can do this either sort of with your legs wide, or if it feels better, bring the soles of the feet together. And we'll bring the bolster between the legs, regardless of how you have them configured. And we'll inhale and lengthen the spine. And as you exhale, let your heart be guided forward until you feel resistance in your groin, in your outer hips, and then let your head become heavy. Let your chest become heavy. Let your belly become heavy. There's nowhere you need to get to. Just let yourself fall and fall and fall. You can notice if you are holding anywhere, if you are sort of protecting a certain part of your body. Let your breath travel to that place. As you breathe out, see if you can just watch just a little bit more tension dissolve and dissolve and dissolve. And we'll slowly bring the hands to the floor and use your hands to walk your upper body back up slowly, taking your time. Our bolster out of the way. Bring the knees together and begin to move down to the floor on your backs. We'll keep the soles of the feet on the floor, but bring them wide. Bring them as wide as your mat. And we'll begin by just bringing your arms in like an inverted V position. So there's a bit of space between your body and your hands. And you could turn the palms to face the sky or to face the earth, just whatever feels best through your shoulders. And we'll take in a breath here. And keeping your hip, your heels and your feet where they are, as you breathe out, let your knees fall toward the right. And let your gaze fall to the right as well. And we'll just really soften through the entire left leg. Feel the front of the leg relax. Let go. And feel the back of the leg. Let go. And as you inhale, slowly draw the knees and the gaze back to center. And take the time to sort of readjust your shoulders and your hips. Take in a breath here. And as you breathe out, keeping your feet where they are, let your knees fall toward the left. And your gaze will follow. And we'll let the entire front of your right leg soften. And we'll let the entire back of the right leg soften. Let your feet relax. Soften the shoulders. And as you inhale, slowly bring the knees and the gaze back to center. And take a moment to sort of readjust the shoulders and the hips. And let your knees fall toward one another. We'll bring the hands to rest on your forehead so that the heel of your hand is resting just above your eyebrows and your fingertips are resting in your hair. And just slowly begin to walk your hands back and forth, just alternating pressure between the right and the left hand. And experiment with walking the heels of your hands up closer toward the hairline and then back again toward the eyebrows. Bring your right hand to your right shoulder and your left hand to your left shoulder. And let your elbows just become heavy. And as you inhale, open the arms up wide, letting the backs of the hands rest on the floor, letting your shoulders soften. And with your next breath out, bring your left hand to your right shoulder and your right hand to your left shoulder. And let the elbows become heavy. Sort of hugging across the body. And as you inhale, open the arms up wide again so they're just about perpendicular to the spine. And press the small of the back into the floor. We'll slowly extend the legs out onto the floor. Support your body with whatever props would feel right for your pose of final rest. And on an in-breath, bless you, just if you can tense every part of your body, make fists, clench your toes, scrunch up your face, scrunch up your ears and your scalp, tense your shoulders. And on an exhalation, see if you can relax completely. And let's do that again. As you breathe in, tense the entire body. And as you exhale, let go completely. Let yourself just come to a place of no effort. Come to a place of no muscle. Your soul has patience and containment. You are patient. You are able to live with ambiguity. You are able to allow situations to evolve and alter. You are able to await outcomes. You tolerate quiet periods of non-knowing while solutions emerge and present themselves. You do not force solutions. You expect the successful working out of difficulties and differences. Your heart is wise. It knows when to act and when non-action is the action to take. Trust your patient heart. Begin to bring your awareness back into your body. Notice where your body makes contact with the earth. Begin to breathe more deeply. And notice what movements breathing more deeply invite back into your body. Notice if your toes wiggle or your ankles circle, or if your fingers flutter. Or your neck rolls from left to right. Slowly begin to draw your knees toward your chest and rock from side to side. Letting that rocking carry you to your favorite side. Allow yourself to really feel gratitude for your body. It works so hard every day, all day. And if it feels right to do so, allow your thoughts to travel to something or someone else that you are thankful for, having in your life, or as a part of your consciousness. And if you're comfortable doing so, just send that person or that thing or whatever it is just a little thank you. And then as you're ready, just slowly begin to make your way back to your seat, your tall seat, your majestic, luminous seat. Taking your time. And I thought we could conclude our practice by chanting one big beautiful Om all together. We'll take a full cycle of breath before we begin. Deep breath in and out and in.
Om.
Thank you all for sharing your practice with us in this room, for sharing your practice with this space. Thank you for supporting each of your fellow yogis on their path. I wish you constant connection to that feeling of support on your path until we meet again and always. Namaste. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Please ask if you have any questions.